Hey, this is your host, D. Wells. This is another episode of Why Not You. Today, I am joined by Dr. Harry Washington. Hey, Dr. Washington's story is one of those stories that will impact, inspire, and motivate you. You know, he broke free from the turmoil that impacted him as a child by having an alcoholic father who was mentally, emotionally, and physically abusive towards him. And he overcame this by putting his trust in his spiritual father, God. He is a man who just continues to improve on himself and add value to others. You know, he never stops professing his faith, learning, and pushing his own boundaries. You know, his vision for life is grand, so he does grand things. He has a YouTube channel committed to serving youth, and he's also authoring books while creating a legacy that will impact millions. Join me in this episode of Why Not You with Dr. Harry Washington. All right, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Why Not You podcast. I'm your host, D. Wells, and I'm joined today by Dr. Harry Washington out in Tennessee.
Hey, man. I'm doing good. A little chilly out here in Tennessee, but I love it. It's so beautiful. You know, every season has its own beauty. So I'm good. And it's good to see you again. And it's good to be a part of your podcast that you're doing, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, before we get started, and I'll do like a little formal introduction to yourself, I always kind of start it off with a quote. And so I got two, actually.
Okay.
One is by Maya Angelou. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them.
Amen.
The other one is, I had to bring some scripture up in the house too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know,
for sure.
So this is 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do with strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's a perfect one. That's a perfect one.
And I said, especially with your background and serving and everything, I was like, man, this is it right there. This is
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen.
So, everybody, Dr. Washington, I'm just going to give like the condensed version real quick of like his bio, because this brother, he has done so much. Definitely, I mean, he's a devoted believer in Jesus who loves to share God's words, his love and kindness with others. I mean, he said growing up on the wrong side of the street was probably the best educational experiences due to the lessons learned.
That's right.
And establishing those boundaries, because you have to protect yourself. Man, this man has served in the military. He's pastored churches and has multiple degrees. He specialized in teenage trauma therapy, substance abuse, addiction therapy, crisis and abuse therapy, and sexual therapy. He's worked in group homes, juvenile halls, and prison ministries across the nation. He's authored books, and he's a YouTuber. I'm like, man, is there anything this man has not done?
That is good. That is good. And I say, you know, God is good. And that's what it's all about. You know, if you work, you got to work like you're working unto the Lord.
And
I learned that. I learned that young, when I was younger, because I went to church when I was younger, always been around it. And so you know, just certain things just draw you closer to God.
Right.
You know? And so
now, so based on that, I mean, what you were saying, certain things, was your family involved in church at an early age, or was it just something that you kind of fell into later? Where you were
something I fell into later. My early childhood was a lot of trauma, because my father was a raging alcoholic, and he was abusive mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And so, because he didn't, you know, believe in religion, he was raised. He went to a Catholic school. But it was because, you know, his mother and father didn't want to have things to do with him. So just different things kind of growing up in that environment. And so growing up with an alcoholic father who was a rager, you'll see that, you know, there's trauma that happens in a child's mind.
Right.
And that's what happened with me. But getting back to religion, I remember walking to a certain place on one of the military installations, and they had they were offering cookies there, cookies there. And so I would go there to get cookies, and the people were just so nice and friendly there, you know. So I kept going back to get cookies, you know. And then what happened is, like, wow, that became like a safe place. They had no clue to what was going on in my life.
Right.
And I know that, you know, no matter the trauma that you have going on in your life, that God is always right there. And I, there was nights when my father would come home, and it was always some drama that was going to take place, because he would come home under the influence, and mom and dad would be fighting, and I would pray that he wouldn't come home, because, you know, I knew that was going to be violence, whether it's physical or emotional. And I remember, like, people talking about praying, you know, praying in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? Back in the day, they used to say Holy Ghost, not Holy Spirit, but Holy Ghost. Right. And so I remember vividly laying in my bed, you know, praying. And I remember my prayer was, I'm a pray in the name of the Father. And I pictured God as an old white man with a long beard. That was the image I had of God. Right. And then I say name of the Father and then the Son. Then, you know, we have those pictures from the Renaissance, you know, so you can kind of pull that image in my mind. And then the Holy Ghost. And the best I could do was pull a picture from Casper with holes in it, you know. And so that's how it, you know, pray and in my prayer, then Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But I have to tell you that to this day, God heard my prayers, see, you know, from being in elementary school, you know, to now, he has heard my prayers. And so people often say, well, you know, I don't really know how to pray. Yeah. And I say, you just talk to him, you know, he understands, you know, you just talk to him regardless of what you have going on, you know, and I look at those people at the church outside of my home. They were there for a reason, because God is always going to have good people, you know, and they don't necessarily have to be the same color that you are.
Right.
You know, to be able to help you out. And so mom and dad ended up divorcing, and we moved to Michigan. And that's when I got introduced, you know, to the street life, because I had a lot of cousins that was there.
Right.
And so, you know, my mom being a single parent of four kids, I was the second oldest, and I, you know, got pulled into that lifestyle, got, you know, from my older cousins.
Yeah.
And so, but in that same time, one of my cousins, his mother, my Aunt Cleo, I would go over to their house, and his mother, to this day, I've never seen anybody be able to handle the word of God like she did.
Wow.
Okay. And I would just sit there and I would just listen to her. And my cousin, he would say, come on, man, let's go. And I would be like wanting to talk to his mom, you know, and she would just be, you know, she would be rebuking me, you know, not in a harsh way. Right. You'd be out there, son, doing anything that you shouldn't be doing, you know, because God is always there and he's always watching you no matter where you go and what you do. You know, you run around here with my heathen son. No. No, she didn't call him a heathen. And so he was like, come on, man, let's go. You know, and this lady was just so equipped. Like if the Jehovah Witnesses came knocking on her door, they were sorry. They were sorry, but she would put it on them. You know, she said, come on in, come on in. You know, so she was really. And so I was really intrigued by her. And then what happened was my cousin said, I should come to church. And they had a church bus. And he said, just tell them where you live. Tell them where you live, you know, and they'll come and pick you up. Mm-hmm. And so that's what started happening is, you know, I told them and then I start going to church. At this age, I was probably about 13, mm-hmm. 13, 14. And I would start going to church and listening. But, you know, I still had those lustful desires. They had some good looking girls at the church, you know, and right. And so what would happen is that the preacher one day said, children, don't have your parents send you to church. Have them bring you to church. Right. So I go home. So mama, preacher said, don't send me to church. Bring me to church. Right. So that started happening. And my siblings came along as well. My mom was had been remarried. Mm-hmm. And so he started coming along and all of them, you know, became Christians throughout the years. So that's how I started on my spiritual journey as far as taking that step. But like I said before, life is a spiritual journey, but you got to acknowledge the creator. You got to acknowledge God. You got to acknowledge Jesus. You got to acknowledge the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the image. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said regardless of the image.
That's right.
You know, it's funny because like yesterday at church, the pastor was talking about the Apostle Paul, you know, and the scales on his eyes and how that can actually obscure your vision and what you actually see. And so he actually, you know, he said, you know, regardless of, you know, whether somebody's white, black, Hispanic, you still got to see people as God's people. Mm-hmm. And so you need to remove any kind of perspective that you may have that's actually tainting your image, because all it's doing is ruining your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Putting people into these boxes. Yeah. So, I mean, it was impactful. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is something that's so true. And in one of the books that I'm writing, it talks about, you know, how I'm talking in there. How did I catch traction? How did I catch traction in my spiritual growth? And it wasn't by what people were saying or teaching, Bible study, whether it's through sermon, you know, because you can get that and that's good information to have. But it wasn't until I started reading for myself, And so I encourage people to read for themselves, read for themselves. And don't worry, there are going to be things you are not going to understand. You're not meant to understand everything. One of my degrees, my master's degree is in Bible. And it's like, oh, people think that's good. I said, you know, a Bible degree just shows you how much you don't know. You see, how much you don't know. So, but what I encourage people to do is act upon what you do know. Uh-huh. You know, what you do know that God wants you to do. Yeah. And then you grow and you mature. Mm-hmm. But you have to spend that time with, you know, you have to spend that time with the word because it's easy. And you can just look at anyone who's listening can just, and we can look at it. Whoever we spend time with, whoever we devote our time with or to, what we spend our time looking at, what we spend our time listening to, who we spend our time talking to, that transforms us into those things.
Yeah.
You know, you just cannot get away from that. You can't get away. It's impossible to get away from that. Mm-hmm. So it's all about that, you know, that programming. I just thought about a story when I used to go, we used to take mom, a shortcut was to go by the horse stables where it didn't smell too good at, you know, it's like, well, mom, why do you guys come this way? It stinks. And we pull our shirts up over our nose, right? You know, and it was horrible, right? And so, but then as I got older, my friend, one of my friends, he had a brother who worked down there, and he said he could get us a job and we could ride the horses for free if we came down there to work. And we was like, oh, wow, you know, we love to ride horses. We've never rode horses before, been on horses before. So we get down there and they work us like Egyptian slaves, you know, digging out stuff. They worked us hard. But you get there, right when you get close, you can smell the scent. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you get in there into the barn and it really smells bad. But it only takes a few moments before that smell is gone. Mm-hmm. You get accustomed, you get immune to that smell.
Right.
And you're there, you know, then you go to the store for lunchtime and people are sniffing, you know, like they smell something, right? Yeah. And then what you do to cover it up, you start sniffing too. Yeah. I smell that too. But that's the way that sin is, and the people that you hang around with, that stench is going to get on you. Wow. You see, the longer that you stay around, the longer that you take those images in, because the Bible is so clear on that, you know, that your eyes are a window to your heart.
Yeah.
Meaning what you take in, you take that in to your being. And so that's one of the things that people really need to look at, because we can get online. I'm not going to say they, because I'm guilty of it too. You know, that I can spend time, so much time looking at, you know, TikTok and YouTube shorts and all that, you know. And I remember when I would watch too many YouTube. I say, if it's long, I said, I'm not going to watch all of this. I'll fast forward and, you know, do that, you know, and so I won't be spending all this time on it, right? But then they came up with shorts and TikToks, you know, and you say, oh, this is just a few seconds, you know, and you clip through, you know, you click through and you listen to one, you go, boom, boom. Next thing you know, you know, spent a couple hours looking at. So Satan is cunning and he's baffling, you know, you just got to be on guard. Mm-hmm. And that's what the word says, you know, above all else, guard your hearts, guard your mind.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's, you know, that is really important.
Wow. So what part in your life did you actually come to a defining moment that compelled you to start serving others? I mean, because I know you're like, you already served in the military. What made you go into the military and then the ministry?
Mm-hmm. I go back. There's a moment in time that I remember at the YMCA. I always go back to that years, 20, 30 years ago, I went back to that. And the reason why I went back to that is I remember that I was about 13 years of age and I was working at the YMCA as a camp counselor. And we were going to go on a camping trip, Camp Copenhague. that was the name of it, you know, and I brought that up with my wife last year sometime, and we pulled it up. And so, yeah, so that's a real name, Camp Copenhague. So, and that's, it was in Michigan, I believe. So I remember the adults were trying to get the kids to listen. They would ask them to do something and the kids wouldn't listen, right? The younger kids wouldn't listen. Then I asked them to do the same exact same thing and they listened. And I said, why are these little kids listening to me, right? And so the adults, they saw that. And so anytime they wanted me to do something, them to do something, they would ask me and the kids would do it with a smile on their face, wow. You know? And I was like, oh, wow. Right. And then that kind of carried over, you know, into the street life, where like I would go to like this one particular time I went to a house party. And we were down in the basement. I don't know if you've ever been to them house parties, man.
Yeah.
You know, doing the bump. Yeah. You know, oh, I forgot. I forgot we're in the air. Okay, I'm sorry. Doing the bump. Yeah. So so you know, we're down there. We're doing things and getting our sip on, and you know. And smoking that stuff, right? You know, and I remember going upstairs, going to the bathroom, right? And there's it's actually about four kids in there, and they're in the room because their parents are downstairs, right? So I go to the restroom, I come back, and I go in there with the kids. I sit down, and I'm just, you know, say, I'm just telling stories. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling stories, right? And so I go back downstairs and life goes on. So many years go by and I'm back on the block, right? And I ran into two of those kids that was in there, and they're probably high school. They could have even been graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but they were older, and they said, "Hey, Harry, remember that story you told us, right?" Like this. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? What the story? You know?
Yeah.
You know that one time you were over at our house over there, and you told us that story, right?" And I'm like, "Oh man, no, I'm sorry, I do not remember. What was the story about?" He said, you know, it was about like someone talking about Shadrach, Abednego, and stuff. I said, "Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," right? Like this. Yeah. He said, Yeah. I said, "Oh yeah, I told you guys that story." right. And so I was like, wow, you know, people remember, kids, you know, remember. And so and if I look back on my life, I look, you know, if I can recall people who I looked up to that were adults, right, and said, you know, said positive things, you know, some to me. And so I kind of make it, you know, that moment was like an aha moment that, you know, you just got to realize, you know, the impact that you can have on people that are around you. And right. So that was kind of like a, you know, decisive moment for me, you know, to realize that impact, that as just showing some people, showing people that you care, because, you know, that statement, nobody cares how much you know until you show how much you care.
Right.
And see, you know, and that party and stuff, you know, it was like that was the thing to do. That was, you know, that's what you just did.
Right.
But that wasn't really me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised that way. I didn't want to live like that. My father was an alcoholic. I didn't want to be an alcoholic, you know.
Right.
You know, so I gravitated to, you know, telling stories and spending time, investing time with kids. And since that moment at age 13, I have consistently, and that's been 50 years, consistently had kids, been involved in kids' lives.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And some of them they have kids the same age as they are. Some of them are even grandparents now, you know, that are still still in contact with.
And it's amazing that they can actually recall some of the stories that you tell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that prevents people from actually connecting with people, because I think in order to like really connect with people and make an impact, you really have to invest in them, invest some time. Mm-hmm. And so many people are just on the go mm-hmm. now. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't have time for this. What can you do for me kind of mentality?
Right.
So
right.
that connection part is lost. So I think that's what, I know when you start thinking about like any youth or kids nowadays, you know, how many parents are really like just busy just working or mm-hmm. getting mm-hmm. a side hustle on? And that makes me think about myself just with, you know, just working and doing the podcast. So, hey, man, hey, I see y'all in a minute. I got to do this podcast editing. Hold on. I give you some time later. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you got to make that time. You have to.
Yeah, you definitely have to make that time, you know. And this year I started two more YouTube channels. So I have four YouTube channels and working on three books, right?
Right.
But I teach people, right. you know, the ministry of family comes first. Mm-hmm. You know, ministry of family comes first, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I have to make sure that my wife and I, we are connected, you know, that we stay connected and just have conversations, you know.
Yeah.
And because there was times in my life, like, you know, I would see a lot of people. I had be involved in a lot, and I would have my calendar, you know, of who I was going to see mm-hmm. that, you know, that day. And one day I looked down and in my calendar and it says, make time for your wife. Mm-hmm. She wrote that in there. Ooh. I was like, ooh. Yeah. Yeah, man. Like this. I was like, whoa, you know? And so that happened one time for sure. Maybe twice. I don't know. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, but, you know, you just have to do that. And the reason why you have to and do that is because time moves by so fast. And so for parents out there, mm-hmm. you have to make the time. And I'm a firm believer. And like I said, I worked in juvenile halls and halfway homes and mm-hmm. Just different institutions. And it's like you can pay me now or you can pay me later kind of. Concept. Right. You can invest your time in me now, so I won't be neglected mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Mm-hmm. Or you can spend your time writing and sending me letters, you know,
yeah.
in prison. And you know, that's your background. You see it every day.
Right.
You see that every day. It's like now they didn't get the attention. They didn't have that sense of community. So they're going to gravitate towards that lifestyle mm-hmm. where people will pay them attention, and it's pretty sad.
Oh man, I know the importance of why you actually do what you do now as far as serving mm-hmm. people, because you're helping them discover like who they really are,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. Especially like who they are in Christ. And
amen.
So, mm-hmm. Why do you think it's important for people to understand like who they are and what the benefits are for them to actually discover?
Okay. Number one, and I'll say this, is that I heard, and as you go through, people will speak certain truths, certain mm-hmm. nuggets, and you just want to grab hold of it, you know, and sometimes you grab hold of it and it really doesn't take root until mm-hmm. later on. And so one person said, success is found inside of Jesus. Failure is found anywhere outside of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Now, yeah. And they said that, and I've used that over and over for years as I've used it right now. And I'm even more convinced this day than I've ever been. That is something that is true, because, you know, right now we got all the things that's going on in the world about identity, people trying to find identities that's going on, and they get to the point where they just make up stuff. Yeah. And they believe what they believe it. They honestly believe mm-hmm. that what they are making up, that they can actually change other people's mindset to try to convince them. You see, right. And it's like, okay, that other saying that goes, if you don't stand for something, you know the rest of that.
Right. What do you stand for?
You know, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. You got that? Yeah. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And so every day you see people just falling for everything. You know, somebody, you know, and the Bible talks about that. It says, you know, you have to be rooted and grounded. If not, you'll be like a wave tossed to and fro, meaning yeah. whatever way the wind is blowing, that's yeah. the direction that you're going to be going. And so that's why I say, you know, identity inside of Christ. And like I said earlier, you know, people will have so many disagreements about the Bible and about Christ, and they would say negative things, but you can ask them, okay, where did you read that at in the Bible? And they have zero clue that some of the stuff is not even in the Bible and that they never even read it to try to comprehend. And so that's what I, you know, try to encourage people to do is to read mm-hmm. God's word, because once you read God's word and you follow things, and that's one of the books that I'm working on, because going to church and being a teenager and even a young adult, it was very difficult understanding the Old Testament, mm-hmm. very difficult. And it still in ways are difficult, but the book that I'm working on, it should be out probably within the next 2 months. Uh-huh. Entitled Faith in the Book. And what it is, it's a survey of the Old Testament, of each book, all 39 books of the Old Testament, with practical applications, how you can apply it to your life today. Mm-hmm. Right. Each book. And so, and then I kind of summarize each book, leaving place for people to go and to search more for different things that are in each book. Yeah. And see, and no one could teach that to me the way that I now know it. And the way that I know it is because I spent time right. reading, praying, researching, and asking the Holy Spirit that didn't have holes in him, you know, to he doesn't have holes in him, you know, they help me, yeah. they help me, you know, to learn. And then once I start hearing more, reading more, that just solidified more and more my faith in Jesus Christ, because there's a genealogy in Matthew, the first chapter, Genesis, the fifth chapter, and it will show you the genealogy of Jesus. Right. You can start it in Genesis, and then you can find out how it came to in Matthew, mm-hmm. you know, in the New Testament, and how it's applicable to us today.
Yeah.
And no other religion in the world can do that. Yeah. No, you know, I don't care what religion, and I look at different ones and what they believe, and I say, oh wow, there's so many loopholes mm-hmm. for me. Now some other people, and I don't want to, you know, bad talk anyone. That's not what I'm about, but I'm talking about what I believe the Word of God, you know, teaches. And that's why I encourage people. And that's why I've written this book. And so that people can just read for themselves. And I go to schools because I do some motivational speaking at like chapel uh-huh. and just kind of condense Jesus' genealogy. Boom. And I put it into a form of a song. With God's help, and it's really interesting. I'm praying. I create this YouTube channel during the pandemic because I got here and we moved here right before the pandemic. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I was doing three counseling, working to operate at three counseling centers, then two, then one, and then running groups and working at drug rehabs and all this stuff. And then all that stuff came to a screeching halt. Working with teens and can't, and I'm here in Tennessee, you know, and I was like, Lord, you know, I'm like this. And so Lord placed it upon my heart. Hey, do a YouTube video and reach people. And another thing that confirmed that is like, I tried when I was in California to do a YouTube channel and I just didn't have the time to devote to it. And then when I was here in Tennessee, it popped up in my feed, one of the videos that I did. And that was like 6, 7, 8 years ago. I don't know. I didn't remember. I said, man, that stuff is still lingering around, you know, online.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, whoa, it was poor quality and everything, but you know, but it still
was there.
Yeah. It was still there. Right. And so I said, oh, okay, God, that's what I'm going to do, you know, because it's an opportunity to leave a legacy. Right. By posting those things out there. And so now I had arrived here. And so I didn't have anyone, you know, to counsel or anything like that. So I got involved in doing that. And that's really, you know, been a blessing in being able to help people all around the world to be able to get their identity. And I know what I was going to say is that I'm at the school and I was saying, okay, God, I want to teach, you know, them the Old Testament, you know? And so what happened is like, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, God wakes me up. Right. And so I'm like, yeah, he wakes me up and he gives me this tune, gives me this beat in my head, right? Uh-huh. Right. And I'm just like, oh man, that's a good one. I can make a song out of that one, you know. Yeah. That's so good, God. Thank you. I'm saying, okay, I'm going back to sleep now. I remember in the morning, right? Right. So I get ready to go back to sleep. And then my self-talk says, stop lying to yourself. Yeah. You know, you're not going to remember this in the morning. You need to get up now, you know, and I don't know why God does things like that, but I say he could have gave it to me, but you know, it has something to do with our brain. And as it is, it's in a more relaxed state. You can think, you know, clearly. And so I got up, I grabbed my phone and I hit the record button and I put that beat. It would go, dun, 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 dun. And so that's what I recorded. Uh-huh. Just that. I just recorded just that. Right. And then I said, okay, God, I'm going back to sleep now. And so I went back. No, he let me go back to sleep. He let me go back to sleep. Yeah. Because I was obedient. When you're obedient to God, you can get some rest. Right. You're not obedient to God, you're not going to get any rest, brother. You're just not, you know. So I tell people, you know, you want rest, you want peace, you got to be obedient.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not sleeping well, you're probably not being obedient. You're having a hard time on a job, you know, you're probably not being obedient. You're having a hard time in your marriage, you're probably not being obedient. You're having a hard time with your kids. You're probably not being obedient. Mm-hmm. You see, because God tells us about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. If you're not having this, it's not God. It's not God that has a problem. It's you.
You.
It's me that has the problem. And so a few days go by, and then I remember. I don't remember the next day. I don't remember. It's about 3 or 4 days later. I remember. Oh. God, you know, woke me up and gave me this, you know. And some people don't believe, you know, and some people don't believe that God, you know, God works in that way. Mm-hmm. And that's on them. You know, I know, you know, my relationship and my experience with God. And I know my experience with the devil, too, you know. You know, you and these are things that you got to know, because sometimes I say, hey, how's the devil working in your life? And they have no clue. Mm-hmm. Or the devil is working in their life. If you have no clue how the devil is working in your life, guess what? You're in trouble. You see, mm-hmm. You want to know, you know, because the flesh is always busy and the flesh is always going to gravitate towards the desires that he wants. And so anyway, enough of that. And so now what happens, I get up and I get me a piece of board mm-hmm. and I'm tapping this out. And then I end up writing it out. And then I work online with some people and they generate, they help me generate a tune or melody that goes with this. And it's like the, and I guess you can put a link to that part in there, you know, it goes, you know, Genesis, Exodus, la, 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 Leviticus, na, 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 Numbers, do, 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 Deuteronomy, do, 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 Deuteronomy. Now you know the books of law, sing them one more time with me. And then you go through it. And once you get through it, it says, okay, wait. Here is what they mean. Here is what they mean. Genesis means beginning. Exodus means they're leaving. Leviticus means God's leading. Numbers means God counting. Deuteronomy means repeating. Deuteronomy means repeating. Mm-hmm. And so that was the song that he had given me for, you know, for that. And that was the first one. You know, and then the next one was about the genealogy of Jesus starting all the way back from Adam. Right. And so I teach these things and play the songs to the kids at school. And this is last school year. And so, you know, little kids in elementary school, they want to write, you know, they just love things and they just want to write you cards and different things like that. And so I got a whole folder around here, you know, of these cards. And in some of those cards, they have the genealogy of Jesus written on it, all the way from Adam, all the way to Jesus.
Sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit down. And then how their lives can be impacted, because in Galatians 3:27, you know, it talks about, you know, those who have been baptized into Christ are heirs according to the promise given to Abraham. Remember, Abraham was the promise was given to him, you know, that he would be the father of all the nations. And that's what we fall underneath today. And once again, that was something I had to ask myself, how does the Old Testament and New Testament apply to me? You know, because, you know, Jewish, Israel, Israelites, the Hebrews, you know, here we are. Gentiles. And so it's like, well, how does that apply to me? Right. And then you read that is how it applies to us. When we get inside of Christ, we become not only heirs, but joint heirs, meaning that we inherit everything that Jesus is going to inherit.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Man, all right. That is. All right. Go ahead.
But, you know, as you're talking about that, it just lets you know how, as you're thinking about how it applies to you, that's almost bringing Romans into it, right? Being able to transform your mind to actually understand your place and your role in this.
Right. And that's your identity.
Yep.
Amen. It transforms your mind. So regardless of what background you grew up in, what lies you've been told and things that you've experienced, your mind can be transformed by being in God's word. Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And so I know, you know, just excuse me. Some people, you know, as they work on their identity, and part of that is being able to reflect and be transparent. And so I know some people they just straight up afraid to be vulnerable, right? With identifying and talking about like sensitive issues. Why do you think people are just apprehensive to share? And how important is it to be actually to be in a place where you can communicate openly?
Okay. Yeah, that's an excellent question, because I know that I wouldn't be the person I am today if I wasn't able to talk about, you know, the trauma that I went through in life. And as you already see, or you already heard, I can talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
And then what happens is that there's another saying, another nugget. It says you're only as sick as your secrets. And if you conceal, you can never be healed. You're only as sick as your secrets. And if you conceal, you can never be healed. And so people are afraid to be vulnerable for a couple of reasons. The feeling of being exposed. There's a lot of fear that's there. And then a lot of times they feel that they would be judged. Now, get this. Because they've been judging others. Yeah, you see that? Yeah. Yeah. Back in the day in high school, we used to call it capping. And I don't know. I don't know how many years I got on you. They used to call it capping and your mama jokes and different things like that. Right. So you stand there with the fellas. Right. And they're talking about people to walk past. You know, you just stand there. You're at lunchtime. You're just talking about people to go past, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, talked about people so much and so bad that you don't want to leave because you know what's going to happen.
Right.
They go talk about you. they go talk about you, you know. And so you stay there, you know. You don't want to be one of the first ones to leave. You want to be one of the last ones to leave. So yeah, so you know, we can become really judgmental and think negative thoughts about other people, and then you have the perception that that's what's going to happen to you, because we don't want to be exposed, right. Because if we're exposed, then it's like we feel really vulnerable, right? And this goes all the way back, Derek. This goes all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve, right? Remember when their eyes were open?
Yeah,
they ran, and they say, and they grabbed fig leaves and put it around them, you know?
Yeah.
And the Lord came into the garden and he say, hey, where you at? Where you at? You know, and they're like, we're over here. Said, what are you doing over there hiding? You know, he says, because we're naked.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, well, who told you you were naked, you know?
How'd you come up with that word?
Who told you? There was no guilt, there was no shame. It was a perfect paradise. Okay, and so now they are exposed, right? They're exposed and trying to hide from God, and that's impossible. And so we want to get that in our mind. You know, is that what we're trying to hide from is God. And God, he wants us, that's why he gave Jesus, he wants us to come into the light.
Yeah.
He wants us to come into the light, because the light outshines any darkness.
Yeah.
But the only way that you're going to be, the only way you're going to be able to do that is to be able to talk about, you know, the things that you're going on. And you do have to be selective of who you talk to, you know, so those who are listening, you have to be really, you know, who you can talk to, because you can't talk to everyone and anyone in the church, you know, because I've learned that and stuff has come back on me. Right. And it's sad to say, but you know, people are human. Right. So you have to be selective, but you do have to find someone, even if it's a counselor.
Right.
You know, and I'm thankful that I was able to become a counselor because people, you know, could come in and I would talk honestly and openly with them, because you go to, you know, training as a counselor and they say, don't disclose any personal information about yourself or any of your personal struggles that you have been, that you've gone through or that you're going through. Right. You know, and that's what they teach you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's like unethical, but you know, I answer to a higher calling.
Right.
And so I share with people, you know, my struggles, and it's been very powerful, because people want someone who's going to be real,
right?
It's going to be transparent,
yeah,
Right. And so it that was beautiful. But I couldn't have done that if I didn't work on myself.
Right.
You see, I couldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. And so God bless people. And it doesn't have to be in the church. It could be a men's support group that you can go to. You know, men's meeting, men's conference, where you can get different men's number who's struggling with the same thing that you are struggling with, right? And then you find that person, and you can identify that can identify with you, and you can have that accountability. You know, you have that accountability because accountability is so important. And I remember one of my accountability partners. He, you know, this guy was, I've had several of them. Several of them. And I put them like down on my phone. If I could show you my phone, I would have them under S, capital S, space, and then their name. And that S was for support.
Oh, okay.
Support. Right. Mm-hmm. So I developed that. And when I show people that, you know, because sometimes people think that I have it all together, you know, because of my degrees and the things that I've been able to accomplish, you know, I say, this is what it took.
Right.
This is what, and it still takes that, you know, being accountable, because if I get close to that slippery slope, you know, it's like, no, I don't want to go back down there, because you can't sip on sin and think that it's not going to pull you in. You just, you can't do it. You know, like with the horse stable, you start smelling the stink, you know, you need to back up, you know, and do something and don't play around with it. And so this accountability partner, you know, he said he would work with me. He said, but I needed to call him every week at a certain time. That was our scheduled time. So I would call him, and then I would just start talking, you know, about different things that was going on. And he would listen. He would listen. Right. And then after I finished, he would ask me this question: Harry, is there anything that you do not want to talk about? And I was like, yeah. Like, yeah, they are. He says, well, let's talk about that, right? So we talk about that, right? Next week, I called him up again. I have my song and my dance, my tap shoes on, and I'm just tapping away, you know, boom, boom. He listens. He's just listening, not saying anything, right? I get finished, and he says, Harry, is there anything that you don't want to talk about? I'm like, yeah. There's some things I don't want to talk about. He said, well, let's talk about it. Derek, it took me about, I don't know, a month and a half, you know, or so. Then I would call him up. I'll just make his name. Hey, Bill, I got some things I don't want to talk about. Right. Right. Hey, that's how we're. Hey, Bill, I got some things I don't want to talk about. Right. Yeah. And then that was the freedom, because those are the six secrets that was keeping me sick, you know? And if I concealed those things, there's no way that I could be healed, you see?
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for joining me in this episode of Why Not You with Dr. Harry Washington. He is truly a man of many stories, huh? This is just the beginning. Hey, the conversation is going to get better along with those stories. Hey, stay tuned for part two. Have a blessed day, and remember to become the best version of yourself. And you can always follow us on Instagram. So subscribe on Spotify and Apple, and be sure to give us a rating. Thanks.